Chapter 41. But she was still dreamy, she hardly heard. Then Cochin pronounced the words which dissolved the excommunication and restored her to her beloved church, with all the dear privileges of worship. Ah, she heard that. You could see it in the deep gratitude that rose in her face, and transfigured it with joy. But how transient was that happiness! For Cochin, without a tremor of pity in his voice, added these crushing words. And that she may repent of her crimes, and repeat them no more, she is sentenced to perpetual imprisonment, with the bread of affliction and the water of anguish. Perpetual imprisonment. As he had never dreamed of that such a thing had never been hinted to her by Loiseleur, or by any other. Loiseleur had distinctly said and promised that L.L. would be well with her. And the very last words spoken to her by Erd, on that very platform, when he was urging her to abjure, was a straight, unqualified promise that, if she would do it, she should go free from captivity. She stood stunned and speechless a moment, then she remembered, with such solacement as the thought could furnish, that by another clear promise made by Cochin himself she would at least be the church's captive, and have women about her in place of a brutal foreign soldiery. So she turned to the body of priests and said, with a sad resignation, "Now, you men of the church, take me to your prison, and leave me no longer in the hands of the English," and she gathered up her chains and prepared to move. But alas, now came these shameful words from Cochin, and with them a mocking laugh. Take her to the prison whence she came. Poor abused girl. She stood dumb, smitten, paralyzed. It was pitiful to see. As he had been beguiled, lied to, betrayed. She saw it all now. The rumbling of a drum broke upon the stillness, and for just one moment she thought of the glorious deliverance promised by her voices. I read it in the rapture that lit her face. Then she saw what it was, her prison escort, and that light faded, never to revive again. And now her head began a piteous rocking motion, swaying slowly, this way and that, as is the way when one is suffering unwordable pain, or when one's heart is broken. Then drearily she went from us, with her face in her hands, and sobbing bitterly. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.